Should we stand and pray? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas says regarding human respect a number of things. Human respect is sometimes called respect of persons, and sometimes it's called the acceptation of persons, how we receive them. In Ephesians 6:9, St. Paul says, there is no respect of persons with God. And it also says that a just judge regards causes, not persons. We also know that the Jews said to Christ that he was not an acceptor of persons. That is, he had no human respect. There is respect to the person when you give him something not for some cause that renders him worthy of it, but something because he is a person. And that's what St. Thomas says. St. Thomas says that the vice of human respect is when you give something to somebody that is some type of deference or honor or something of this sort, when there's no cause for it. Human respect is opposed to justice, St. Thomas says, because it fails to observe due proportion. So you kind of see this in marriage, you know. The guy won't listen to a thing his wife says, but the next door neighbor says something and he listens to everything, buys the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. And that's a fail to observe due proportion. It's just your neighbor or just a complete stranger. You know, people will offend God in the face of a complete stranger. There's no due proportion. Human respect is the deference, respect, or reverence we give to a person who is not worthy of that reverence, respect, or deference. So it's something we're giving to somebody which isn't due to them. Normally, human respect is rooted in a desire to be liked by others. This means that if the person has some excellence or dignity, for example, a bishop or something of this sort, due deference must be given to him on account of his dignity, but no more and no less. So if he tells you to do something that's sinful, human respect would do it because, well, he's the bishop, you know, and I should respect, but, you know, it's that type of thing. Whereas, in this particular case, if he tells you to do something sinful, no, you don't do it because, sorry, bub, you might be a bishop, but you ain't God. So there has to be a proportion. So there is a certain virtue, which is actually reverence, that lies between an excess and a defect. The excess is human respect, where people just give too much reverence or deference to people without a sufficient reason. There's no real reason to be doing this. But then there's the defect in which people give absolutely no respect or reverence or deference to anybody whatsoever, except themselves usually, but that there's just, there's nothing given. So for St. Thomas, there is a mean. How you give somebody deference has to observe a particular excellence that they have. Are they a bishop? Are they your wife? Because the office of wife and motherhood is a kind of excellence, so there's a certain deference that has to be given. Are they your husband? You know, are they the bishop, the pope, or a priest? There's certain ways in which the person has to be approached. Our respect for that person must be proportionate. That is, no more. That is, no, you can't have any human respect, which means you can never show anybody any deference by excess, and not any less. That is, irreverence and disrespect. In the case of some things, no man is worthy of respect, such as sin, the request to sin, etc. And in the case of Christ, on one level, he has no respect for us because of the fact that, why? Well, he's above us, and it's not our place to tell him anything. But on another level, Christ did show respect to Our Lady and Saint Joseph, because there's that line, he came with them from Jerusalem and was subject to them. So there is a certain deference that he pays to them, not because he has to, he doesn't have to, he's God, but he does it as a matter of example to us. Human respect is a sin, insofar as it is contrary to justice by excess. Since it is respect of persons when something is allotted or given to a person out of proportion to his deserts, it must be observed that a person's worthiness must be considered in two ways. First, simply and absolutely, And in this way, the man who abounds the more in spiritual gifts of grace is the more worthy. So you should, on one level, the guy who's holier, he's the guy that really you should be giving the deference to. Secondly, in relation to the common good, for it happens at times that the less holy and the less learned man may conduce more to the common good on account of an authority or an activity or something of this kind. And since the dispensation of spiritual things is directed chiefly to the common good, according to 1 Corinthians, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. It follows that in the dispensation of spiritual goods, the simply less good are sometimes preferred to the better, without respect of persons, just as God sometimes bestows gratuitous graces on the less worthy. What all this means is that the amount of respect or reverence due to a person is based upon the qualities of the person. For example, the married woman should give her husband more respect than another single man. A priest more than his bishop. A priest should give more deference to his bishop than, say, to other bishops. Or we should give more deference to a bishop than to a priest. Just because we like some quality of somebody does not constitute that quality as a foundation for respect or reverence. It must be based on the objective dignity of the person. In other words, there's a certain level of respect that you have to show to people in general. I mean, obviously, you don't do things like they did in Nazi Germany to people. That's just a lack of respect and reverence for a human being, which has a certain level of dignity. But on the other hand, our dignity is entirely derived from God, and so on one level, in relationship to God, it's nothing, a certain respect, whereas God's is everything. So there has to be a certain proportion. You don't give them too much. And that's actually one of the problems today, is that there's many philosophies running around that tend to exaggerate human dignity and human worth beyond what it actually is. But above and beyond being human, there's certain excellences that we can have, like being a bishop, being a priest, or these types of things, and there's a certain respect that's due to those. This means, of course, that in the end we will respect no human being insofar as he's a human being. We will respect insofar as he's a human being. By that I mean you don't give him any deference above any other individual. We will respect someone only because this person, insofar as they are like God. So it's not because they're a human being that you respect them as such. It's because somehow they reflect the image of God. St. Thomas goes on to say that to honor a person is to recognize him as having virtue or some excellence. Wherefore, he says, virtue alone is the cause of a person being honored. Sometimes we honor someone else because they represent someone of great honor. The aged should be honored, he said, because old age is a sign of virtue, though this sign fails at some times, he says. Wherefore, according to wisdom, venerable old age is not of a long time, nor counted by number of years, but the understanding of a man is gray hairs, and the spotless life is old age. So it's his understanding of these things that constitute him to be a wise man in an elderly sense. Not just because he's old. We all know there's a number of old people that are just pretty clueless. The rich ought to be honored by reason of their accompanying a higher position in the community. But if they be honored merely for their wealth, St. Thomas says, it will be a sin of the respective persons. In other words, you don't honor them because of their money. You honor them because of the fact that they can do good things for the community. So it's a matter of the common good that comes from it. So concretely, what does all this mean spiritually? It means that most people suffer from the vice of human respect and that they give more people reverence than they should, that's due to them. Or they respect them or they take into consideration what they say. Often it comes in the form of political correctness. So people are, too concerned about whether they're using a specific term or they're saying things or they're talking about a topic that's considered taboo, which is all silly. On one level, human respect causes us to fail in regards to doing spiritual things because we are worried about what others will think. For example, how many times have you been at eating out in a restaurant and you didn't say grace before meals or Thanksgiving afterwards because of the people in the restaurant? You know, it's much easier as a priest. You just look over, you know, he's a priest, he's doing his thing. But with lay people, it's a little bit different. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to actually say grace before meals out of human respect, because they don't want people to think that, oh, I don't want to see people think that I'm holy, because then, you know, holiness is kind of on the outs today. Whereas if they're in the right company, they're the first one to stand there trying to make the sign of the cross before everyone else. So it's, they're looking to be, they're concerned about what other people think of them. So human respect, again, is the deference we pay to people, and it's by excess. And so because it's by excess, we get worried about what these people tend to think of us. Human respect often causes negligence. That is, failing to fraternally correct people because we want them to like us. In this respect, human respect destroys charity, because we do not seek after the spiritual good of others, but only a false temporal good of our own. That is, we want to be liked, or we give somebody deference because there's something we're getting out of it. Sometimes human respect can hogtie people because they are afraid that others will laugh and scoff at them for doing pious works. This is sometimes a problem in a family when everyone expects certain behavior out of people, you know. So we don't want you doing that. Come over and do this, you know, that type of thing. And so people will omit certain pious works because they just don't, you know, they don't want people to laugh at them or whatever the case is, or to deride them. But when it comes to God, men are practically nothing. So if we're going to show reverence to God, that means that with respect to human beings, unless, again, they somehow represent God or in the image of God, we should just ignore them. Priests do not give the homilies they should because people will not like them. And that is, out of human respect, and they do not give the advice people need in confession because of human respect. How many of you have been firmly corrected for something in the confessional? Now, I'm not advocating that the priest should come in and every time somebody confesses something, he should just slap them around, as much as he might like. But sometimes people need a firm hand. But he doesn't want, oh, I want people to think I'm a benign old priest, so I just won't say anything. But in the end, they're not. A good priest, like a father, takes people to task. He doesn't care who they are, if they're sinning or if they're doing something and it's necessary, he does it. So he puts aside the reverence and the respect and gets to the chase. He doesn't care what they think. The problem is that too many people are too concerned about what they think. And you sometimes get the opposite of that. People come into the confessional and they'll actually hide mortal sins out of human respect. I don't want the priest to find, I'm too ashamed to admit this to the priest. If you can't admit it to a priest in a confessional, there's some serious problem here. Look at the bishops, how they say nothing when Catholics say heretical things publicly. In other words, they don't do anything. It's all human respect. Vatican II said that we were to embrace the modern world. And this has had the direct effect of the actions in the church being governed by human respect. That's the trajectory. If you want to embrace the modern world, then you're basically, your standard is the modern world. Well, what's the standard in the world? Human respect. Paying deference to people when you shouldn't. And this is both among individuals and nations, and it's done publicly. How often do people try to play down or hide their Catholicity in certain circles out of a human respect? You know, today, I think, at least in this country, aside from a few people, very often you say, well, I'm Catholic, and this is why, and you tell them. Very often they'll kind of stand back and they'll actually respect you more. Academics and even in seminaries are dominated by human respect. How many scientists accept things such as Darwinian evolution because to reject it brings derision, even though the Darwinian evolution is a deridable thing? Looking at the people in the Vatican in this regard, people will accept things that are ridiculous just to appear intelligent, that is, out of human respect. So now you got people in the Vatican running around saying that intelligent design is bad science. You're just like, okay, human respect all over again. And you're seeing this. We have to apologize to everybody now. I don't know if you ever saw, but there was that cartoon on the thing, you know, it was McVatican, and you could press the button as to, I want, you know, and the bottom was apologies. You could press for your apologies. And that's what's happened. When you embrace the modern world, when it becomes your standard, you're going to be worrying about what people are thinking. Instead of doing what? Giving God his due and making sure that everything in the church is on the up and up. Human respect causes us to abandon our duties before man and God. So people very often just won't do their job. They just won't do what they're supposed to. I've seen married couples where they'll ignore each other and not listen to a thing their spouse says, but they'll turn right around and listen to a complete stranger, as I mentioned, and has what the stranger has to say about something. Even if the stranger doesn't know anything, and it's evident he doesn't know anything, they'll listen to him over their spouse. Because it's somehow or another, it's just that, you know, people are more worried about it. Because once you get married, few years in, you don't care what your spouse thinks of you. So you just, you know, you're worried about everybody else. Well, you might be concerned about what your spouse says only because you want to keep things quiet. How many people do the right thing out of human respect because they do not want to be they don't want to be looked down on by others? Often this is a sign of a lack of purity of motives. Seminarians will even become priests out of human respect. And you can always tell them because they are spiritually tepid and ambitious. So human respect is often driven by ambition. St. Thomas defines ambition as striving for something that's beyond what's suited one's state. And by one's state, he means that you're trying to pursue something for which you don't have any talents. So, and this is because they want human respect. They want people to look at them and give them praise and honor. The entire herd mentality is driven by human respect. Human respect causes us to be unfaithful to the graces that God sends us. In other words, if you have human respect, you're simply not going to be faithful. You're simply not going to be faithful to God's graces. So we have to make sure that in the face of our duties before God, we don't care what anybody says. Now, obviously, you don't want to cause scandal. But on the other hand, you know, if it comes to doing some good thing for God, it doesn't matter who's there. You just do it. And if you don't, then basically you're respecting people over God. God often inclines us to do the right thing, but we shun his grace in order to avoid being looked down on by other people. Human respect is often driven by the sin of ambition, as I mentioned. So you have to be really careful. Human respect causes us to have false shame in the eyes of others. In other words, we'll be ashamed of things about things that we shouldn't even be ashamed about. Meanwhile, we'll not have true shame before God because we are willing to do all kinds of sinful and despicable things as long as people will think good of us. You know, kind of, you know, people say, do you smoke? They're like, yeah, I start to smoke. You know, exactly. Are you sleeping with your girlfriend? Oh, yeah, yeah, we're doing that. I mean, there's just no proportion. It's like I said in the pulpit. You know there's a problem in a culture when smoking's a mortal sin and sleeping around is a virtue. You know, there's something wrong. Human respect emasculates men and destroys one's ability to act with authority when in a position of leadership. In other words, when it comes even to his wife, he can't have any human respect, which means he can't overvalue her or what she thinks. She has to do what he knows is best and what God expects him to do. And it emasculates them because part of being a man is doing things that are arduous and difficult. But people come up against human respect because they're attached to what people think. They're attached to their reputation or what people think about them. And so because of that attachment, they're weak in the face of having to do things that they would rather not want to do. So it tends to have an effeminizing effect. And that's why I always tell people, you know, hope nobody in here is a politician, but it just seems like politicians are always effeminate, at least the guys. They're not real men. I have yet to find a guy that's really masculine. And I'm even referring to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it seems to me that you know, and by manly I mean self-discipline, self-controlled. We cave to human respect in order to avoid being confrontational, which itself can be a sin, but not always. We will often hurt the people we love just so others will not look down on us. Often people will act entirely out of human respect when they are nothing of the sort, or they'll act wholly out of human respect. In other words, they'll go to church, they'll act all sanctimonious because they want everybody to look at them and together. Meanwhile, they're ignoring God because they're committing the sin of simulation. Simulation, there's another word for that. It's called hypocrisy. It's when you're actually interiorly one way, but you're actually acting in a different way. So out of human respect, people will all very often act very wholly. Human respect in the end forces us to act against our conscience, so it weakens our conscience in the end. As a result, sometimes people will allow their spiritual lives to go to ruin out of human respect, and sometimes they can't even confess a sin, as I mentioned. And if they, like the priests, they cannot stand before him and admit they have committed some sin. In Italy, they have this wonderful practice. You know, this idea that face-to-face confessions were only after the council is simply false. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't like doing them as a general rule. But I do them because of pastoral necessity or because of the circumstances. And I prefer because it's easier to keep anonymity and it's easier to keep... it's actually easier to be harder on the penitent when you don't have to look at them. No, but... But in Italy, they have this wonderful practice. Now, at St. Francis, we have an Italian confessional. And you know how you can tell? You can tell because it has a curtain in front of the priest. In Italy, if a guy goes to confession behind a screen, if he's a foreigner, they'll tolerate it. They'll say, okay, he's a foreigner, he doesn't understand our customs, so they'll tolerate it. But if he's an Italian and he goes behind the screen, he'll say, you get away from there and you come around and face me like a man. And they have to come around and they put their head inside the curtain, and then that's how they confess. And so and that's because, look, I'm not taking any of your, you know, human respect nonsense. You get over here and, you know, take your beating like a man. All right. So what is its cause? Human respect is caused by pride and vanity. It is proud to think that we should be liked by all people. That is the prerogative of God alone. God's the only one who's universally good in every conceivable way. It's only he's the one that's really ever going to be liked in every conceivable way. So we should be worrying about what he thinks, and don't worry about whether people like you or not. A spirit of injustice is its cause. We are willing to rob from God to give to others. In other words, we're willing to not fulfill our duties in justice to God, to pray to him or do whatever, and we'll take that and give it to people that are undeserving. An unwillingness to suffer the dislike, derision, or spite of others. Human respect is rooted in the fear of lowly judgment of others regarding us. In other words, we're concerned that people will think lowly of us. So, in the end, one of its causes is pride, of course, which is a lack of humility, an unwillingness to be viewed as low. It's also rooted in a spirit of duplicity. Often people will hide their spiritual lives and Catholicity in front of some people, but boast about it and be ostentatious in front of others. And it's rooted in a willingness to simulate and lie. Human respect is rooted in a lack of interior life, insofar as human respect is often very subtle and blinding, which can only be known by reflection on one's motives and inclinations. So very often it's a sign of superficiality. The people who are deeply spiritual, they get so wrapped up in God, they could care less what other people think of them. So how do you overcome it? First, we must purify our motives by doing everything for God. Charity, and by that we mean you have to do everything out of charity. Love of God and love of neighbor for the sake of God. So even when you're doing it for your neighbor, it has to be for the sake of God. And once you do that, that is, once you seek the good of God in each and every situation, what the human being wants or thinks becomes irrelevant. It's what's best for everybody spiritually. Humility is the principal weapon. We must accept our place and circumstances regardless of how uncomfortable it may be and how much people may think we're ridiculous. Obviously, if you have a problem with human respect, you're not going to accept humiliations very well. You're going to try and avoid humiliations. Saying the litany of humility is very useful in that regard. Humility is defined as different ways. One definition is a willingness to live in accordance with the truth. So, in other words, a person, it's the readiness or disposition of the soul to accept the truth regardless of how painful, wherever it leads me in life. Whereas the proud man doesn't think he has to be subject to the truth. He just does whatever he wants. Another definition of humility, and so if he does whatever he wants, if he's a proud man, he's going to have a problem with human respect. The other definition of humility is, St. Thomas defines it as a moderation of a striving for excellence. And so what this means is a person doesn't strive for what's beyond them. Now, it kind of can be different from ambition. Ambition is when a person knows that this is beyond them, and so but they do it anyway. Pride, however, is a striving for one's own excellence, whether it is suited to you or not. The humble man always looks at himself and says he's worthy of nothing. That doesn't mean he's not motivated to do the good things, because that charity motivates him to keep doing what is right. Then there is fortitude. Fortitude is defined as the willingness to fall into battle. In other words, it's the virtue by which a person, St. Thomas says, endures the blows but also goes on the offensive. Even if that means the death of our reputation, we have to be willing to do what is right before God. As long as God gets what he wants, you're in good shape. Human respect, while against justice because we give more deference or respect to someone than is due, is also against fortitude because its motivation is often fear. In other words, people fear of suffering the derision or suffering the bad reputation, or that people will look down on them. There's a fear. In this respect, we need a spirit of mortification so that we do not fear the suffering that comes with being viewed as lowly. We can meditate on the majesty of God and what is due to him so that we'll give him his due rather than men. Also, we have to work on justice. We have to give people no more and more, no less of the deference that's due to them. If we end up giving them more deference than is due to them, again, it's unjust. It's not due to them. Practice the constant presence of God. Now, this is good just for general and sin. If you know God is present, you'll respect him. If you're always keeping track of the fact that he's around, you're going to gossip less, you're going to commit your sins in general, but you're going to end up respecting him, and you're just not going to care about what the other people think. If you do not recognize God's presence, you're simply not going to respect him. You're going to suffer into human. You're going to fall into human respect. And this is why usually when we commit a sin, the first thing we got to do is get God out of the picture psychologically. Devotion to the Sacred Heart, because it will temper our desires. It will humiliate us, humble us, so that we actually are willing to accept whatever is required, so that we don't. In our relationships with other people, we're willing to suffer. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart, according to the mind of St. Louis de Montfort. He has once, and you can also develop a devotion to St. Louis de Montfort himself. He was once described as the man who was completely devoid of human respect. Great guy to go to. Also, the same with our Lord, of course. He had no human respect. In the end, even the hymn 30, in Psalm 36, the snares of human respect can be explained in the light of alternative offering in Psalm 36, please God or please the world. In other words, you have to make a choice. Who's going to be the one? Is it going to be God or is it going to be other people? And that's really what it boils down to. Okay, so human respect is an excessive deference paid to people, and it often causes us to fall into sin. It's not a capital vice as such, but it's rooted in the capital vice of pride. So you have to start rooting that out. And it means that in the end, when it comes to matters that pertain to God, the only deference you show to somebody is because they manifest some excellence of God, and so you're respecting God. Everything else should not be respected, because everything else is derivative of its excellence from God, and so really it's all about God. So if you want to overcome human respect, you have to focus your life entirely on God and only love other people insofar as you're loving God, and that's the order of charity. So if you want to overcome human respect, you have to work on charity. If you'll kneel, I'll give you a blessing. Benedicto Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus, super vos et mani et semper.